up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program from Blind Citizens Australia. In case you've forgotten, Blind Citizens Australia is the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians seeking for equality and for accessible services that meet our needs. Blind Citizens Australia relies heavily on donations from the community as well as some government funding. And if you'd like to find out how you can donate to BCA, have a look at the website, and that's got all the information that you could want. What's also on the website is a list of the directors of Blind Citizens Australia, or those people who are on the board. There's also a list of the people who are on the National Policy Council. And in the coming weeks, we'll talk to some of those people. I did promise earlier in the year that we'd speak to the three new board members. And 2 weeks ago, we spoke to James Manders, who's one of the incoming directors. And very shortly, we'll be speaking to Prue Watts, who is the third incoming director. This week, though, we have the pleasure of speaking to Fiona Woods. Now, Fiona Woods is no stranger to Blind Citizens Australia, and in fact she's been involved at the board level before. She was also the president of the National Women's Branch, which was the last time I spoke to her, back in around 1999 or 2000. Now, she's one of the newest recruits to the Blind Citizens Australia board. She joins us now. Fiona Woods, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vaughan. It's lovely to speak to everyone again.
Why don't you start by giving us some detail about who you are and what you do to keep busy?
Well, I grew up in Melbourne. I went to the Burwood Blind School for a few years, and then I was educated in Melbourne. And after that, I've travelled around various places. And I should say, I suppose I did a law degree and an arts degree in the middle of that. But now I live in the Blue Mountains in New South Wales. And I live with my husband, and we have six children. Two of them have moved to Canberra for study, and so there's one still here at university, so I have three children. So basically, I spend my time looking after them.
Six children. Wow, that's impressive.
One at a time.
Now, tell us, what did BCA have to bribe you with to get you back on the BCA board?
Well, as if they'd need to. I was on the board of BCA in the 1990s, and I really only left because I think I left when either my second child, I was sort of involved, but my second child had a retinoblastoma and needed a lot of treatment in hospital, and so I really needed to concentrate on that. And after that, I had the other children, and it just became very impractical to actually contribute enough time to the board. So I always would have liked to do it, but just really couldn't fit it in. And I always felt that as long as the organisation survived, there'd still be plenty of work to do. I never thought, oh, no, all those blindness issues will be solved, so I won't be able to go back to it. So I suppose I got to a point. I did become very involved with the Australian Breastfeeding Association, and I found that a very rewarding activity to do in my own community.
Mm.
But after the children started to grow up, I suppose I have been thinking for a while. I had some spare capacity, and John Simpson contacted me in the holidays and asked me if I'd be interested in getting involved again. Soon after that, Emma was appointed an executive officer, and there's some other new people on the board, and I just thought it was a really exciting time to get connected again. He also sent me a list, just in case I'd forgotten, of 40 achievements in 40 years, which is a thing BCA put out to celebrate their anniversary. And honestly, reading it, I thought, yes, it is amazing the things that have occurred. Even in my own life, in the last few years, last year I was able to vote, you know, in Braille in our state, in our local government election. Finally, tactile tiles were put on my railway station, so I didn't feel like I was going to fall off. And the dots on the $5 note turned up. So just there's so many achievements, and I think it's a great time to get back involved to see what else we can achieve.
Mm. I was going to ask you about that, because you were around on the board in sort of the mid-90s, which is, not to put too fine a point on it, 20-odd years ago. What do you think has changed since then?
Well, obviously, funding has changed a lot, so we no longer get funding from the Commonwealth government just to exist, which is a pity. But also, I suppose I'm finding out a lot of the things that have changed. Obviously, the NDIS coming in is a huge thing, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our members to be able to, and blind people generally, to have a lot more choice in their life and design the things they want. But I think it's also a big challenge because we are not used to that, and so not all of us have the skills or capacity or imagination to know what's possible. And there's also the government factor, so some of it isn't possible. So that's come in. I think for myself, a lot's changed for me because 20 years ago I felt like I was in a pretty privileged position. I had, you know, lots of education and I knew what was going on. I suppose having been in the community for several years and not part of the economy as the world would see it, you know, my technology skills are a long time behind. When I left work, they were just introducing Windows. So I feel like there's a few challenges for me in that way. But they're good challenges, but they can be challenging. So I suppose I feel like I have possibly increased my empathy levels with, hopefully, with other people in the blindness community who perhaps haven't had as many opportunities as I have over the years.
And what are you feeling that you'd particularly like to focus on in your time on the board?
I think the use of the NDIS and, to an extent, the My Aged Care, because I don't really understand that program particularly well yet, but I'm really hoping that we can find some flexibility so that people who aren't eligible for the NDIS because of their age can get some sort of assistance through that. So really educating people, I suppose, and working with people to make sure that people do get the benefits of that system, but also making sure that within that the community doesn't just say, oh, we've sorted you disabled people out now, we've given you this, you know, go off and get your technology and fit in with us. I think it's really important that the community still understands and meets our needs. And so I'm hoping to work on those areas.
And what are your hopes for BCA over the coming years?
Well, I came to BCA as someone who had been very much expecting to focus in the sighted world. My father was blind, but I was always, no, I don't need any blind people. You know, I can get by, thank you. And after he died and after I lived overseas for a while, I thought, oh, actually, I do need some skills from BCA. So I want other blind and visually impaired people to have that experience of just, I remember my first convention, walking in and finding the program was completely in Braille, and then everyone who spoke was very erudite and articulate, and they were all blind people. And then when you went and had breaks, you could talk to people about, you know, how they looked after their children or how they cleaned their house. And I think I want that for as many blind and vision impaired people as possible so that they can have the strength of sort of the global support, but also the very particular local and personal support that you can get from meeting with your peers.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big things about Blind Citizens Australia. I find it fascinating because I too grew up in Melbourne, and I had quite a number of blind friends, probably more than sighted friends, if I'm completely honest about it. And I always had what I felt was that support. In fact, I spent my formative years in New Zealand and went to a boarding school, so I was with other blind people all the time. It wasn't until I went to northern New South Wales to go to university that I was sort of on my own as a blind person, really, apart from one other person, for virtually the first time in my life. And I found that absolutely fascinating, just how different that was and how much I missed the company of other blind people.
And I feel that very strongly for people from different backgrounds to us. I feel like a lot of blind citizens in Australia, we have different backgrounds, but a lot of us have similar cultural understandings. And I really want that for people who are from other cultures, because I want to understand their culture, but I also want them to have that, they retain that, but then they also have the sort of kindredness of being blind. And when I say that, I know everyone's experience is completely different, but there are some things that we share.
Now, one of the things that John's told us on the program on a number of occasions is that board members have a specific portfolio or area of responsibility. Have you had a chance to establish that yet?
Well, I've been established into two committees. I'm not chairing them, fortunately for me, but I'm on the Convention Planning Committee with Lynn Davis, and also with Lynn, I've been co-opted onto the policy, or appointed by the board onto the National Policy Council, which is something I'm very excited about, because I think the policies of BCA, when I first joined, we had ones on audible traffic signals and pedestrian safety and things that really inform everybody who is advocating in their own community with what it is that blind people as a group want. And so I'm really excited to be back on the Policy Council and to be working on making sure those policies are up to date and working out what sort of new policies we might need to focus on in the future.
Mm. And I assume you'll be coming to the convention in Melbourne towards the end of the year.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that. The state conventions always seem to have been when one of my children has been doing their HSC. So I've missed several of them. This is my off year. There isn't anyone doing it this year. And I'm looking forward to coming back to Melbourne. I always enjoy being in Melbourne except for the weather, because it makes you realise when you live in Sydney how accessible the city really can be.
Mm.
And certainly where I live, it's sort of slightly regional, so that the trains are once an hour and most of the places don't have footpaths. So, yeah, Melbourne's always a pleasure. Plus my family's in Melbourne, so I'll be able to fit in some private things as well.
Mm. Well, Fiona, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
It's been a pleasure, and I really encourage anyone who has any thoughts or any suggestions for me to work on or things that they'd like help with to contact me. I'm very keen to get to know and speak to people.
Do you want to just give your details then?
My mobile phone number is 0400395101, and my home phone number is 0247395101. My email is up on the BCA website.
Okay, yeah, I think there's a list of all of the directors, so if you'd like to get in touch with Fiona, you can have a look on the BCA website. And that was Fiona Woods, one of the new directors of Blind Citizens Australia. She'll be a director until the next AGM, which happens to coincide with the convention in Melbourne in October this year. As I said at the beginning of the program, Blind Citizens Australia relies heavily on your donations. You can donate a certain amount per month, or you can do a one-off donation if you'd like to. You can do it by credit card, or you can do it in a myriad of other ways. Just have a look at the BCA website to find out more information. And as I said previously, there's all the information you could want. There's a whole lot of policies and information about blindness and vision impairment, and there's also a lot of resources around blind and vision impairment issues. So that includes the NDIS, My Aged Care, and audio description, audible traffic lights, probably the tuition of Braille. To be perfectly honest, I haven't had a chance to get through everything that is on the BCA website. So just remember, whenever you're looking for resources about blindness or vision impairment, the BCA website is your friend. And while I think about it, just a reminder that the theme for New Horizons was written especially for the purpose. In fact, Steve Richardson, the composer of the theme and the person who sings the lead vocal, won a competition in 2016 for composing the song. It's available on iTunes. If you look for Blind Citizens Australia, you will find it. And all proceeds from the sale of that song go to support Blind Citizens Australia. I'm Vaughan Bennis, and it's been a pleasure to have your company over the last 15 minutes or so. I'm the presenter of New Horizons every week, and New Horizons goes out on the Blind Citizens Australia website as a podcast, and it also goes out on the RPH network across Australia and is also available to other community radio stations which take the feed. It's available to people outside Australia, of course, through the website and other means, and we hope that New Horizons is proving to be a good resource for people who are interested in issues that pertain to blind and vision impaired people. If you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, call 1-800-033-660. That's their toll-free number, 1-800-033-660. The email address for the main office is bca@bca.org.au. That's bca@bca.org.au. And if you'd like to give me feedback on the program or anything like that, or you have suggestions for the program, get in touch with me on new.horizons@bca.org.au. And I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.